What's up, internet people? You're tuned into episode 63 of the Steam Deck podcast. Flip Screen Games' weekly podcast all about Valve's portable PC powerhouse. I'm your host, Max Wright, joined today, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Mr. Stephen Radford.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Steve. How are you? What's going on? Update me.
I'm good. You know, when you say portable PC powerhouse, it's sort of like you're saying Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper.
Valve's portable PC powerhouse picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Yeah. What are pickled peppers?
They are jalapenos, surely.
I think so. Do you think Peter Piper likes jalapenos?
He loves them. Or you can get that jar. I like the jars you get of like the long pickled peppers, like the banana peppers you get with your kebab.
Oh, they're your always good. Yeah, I don't always get the chilies though. I take those off. Huh? The one thing I don't get. Yeah, I'm just a little bit of salad, garlic mayo kind of guy. Great.
Yeah, garlic mayo. I like garlic mayo and chili. I deep throat the chilies in one. Generally, I'll go right to the hilt, and I'll just take off the little flower end where it attaches the stem.
Yeah, the
end,
little stalk.
Yeah.
You do that with bananas too? Just eat the skin.
I can't. No, I don't. I don't have that good a gag reflex, unfortunately. So I open the bananas like a monkey though, where you do it
upside down.
Yeah, upside down.
I mean, that's technically the right side up, isn't it? Because they grow that way. So
they do grow that way.
Most people are eating their bananas backwards, you know.
I'm with you. But we're not here to talk about bananas today. We were here to talk about peppers, but we've done that now. Today we are here to talk about the burning question as we approach the end of the year. 2023 has been a fantastic year for video games. It's sort of hard to argue the quality of what's coming out. Obviously, that is having some effect on the industry, which is not so great. But we can still get to enjoy the games. The big question that I have for you, and I brought this to you as a discussion I want to have, do you think that the Steam Deck is getting the most out of 2023? Do you think it's missed too many of 2023's best games to sort of like, for those of you who only play on Steam Deck, are you getting the most out of this year by just doing that? And I think we might be in alignment to this, but Steve, what was your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a big question because we saw this week that Valve is prepping their developers to set up their nomination requests for their games so they can get people to ask to nominate their games for the Steam Awards. But this year we had a bunch of big games on other platforms that obviously didn't come to Steam. Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake 2, which was an Epic Games exclusive, and we spoke about on last week's episode, not really playable on the Steam Deck. You can get it to run, but it's sub-30. You're not going to have a good experience playing it. And so I was curious, you know, are people missing out if they've only got a Steam Deck? Are they missing out on the best games of 2023? And you put together a bit of a list of games that the Deck can play, and when you kind of break it down, there's only really like three of the biggest games that the Deck wasn't capable of playing this year.
Yeah, I think of those games as well, you know, two of them technically are playable on Steam Deck in various ways. You know, you've either got, you could stream your PlayStation and Spider-Man to your Steam Deck. So technically we're sort of breaking some rules there. And obviously there's...
I mean, there's another way to play Tears of the Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously slightly different, but I am of the opinion that I think there's just been so many good games this year, and so many of them work on the Steam Deck out the box, and so many of them also are sort of smaller games that would obviously have no problem running on the Steam Deck anyway. So not to sort of go straight in with the answer, but I just think there's too many good games, and I'm going to start listing them now. So when it comes around to Game of the Year discussions, which are going to be happening quite soon, you know, the Game Awards are usually the beginning of December. We're at the beginning of November. We've got really a month until it all kicks off, and people are going to be arguing in comment sections, screaming at each other about what the best game of the year is.
Yeah, so, Skull Island, King Kong, best game.
Yeah, great. Of course, Gollum was also this year, like two titans fighting it out, battling for the top spot, which I think is a fight that King Kong would win every time, just based on the size of the lad.
Yeah.
But let's get into the games. So this year, I think some of the personally the best games, this is a list I put together based on games that I've either played or want to play, or just from like the discussions that have been happening, you know, because you can't play everything. Baldur's Gate 3, massive game.
Yeah, huge game.
Pipped a lot, you know, came out, shocked a lot of people, is very high on the list. I think for a lot of people,
and
game of the year.
Still not on Xbox, you know. The only way you can play it is on PC or on PlayStation. Came to PC first, obviously was in early access, runs really well on the deck. Just got an FSR 2.2 update, so it looks even better on the deck now, because you can scale up a little bit better than you could previously with the powers of FSR 2.2. Mm-hmm. That's a really great game. Like if you've not checked it out yet, then you definitely should, Max. I don't know if you've played this one yet.
I haven't played it yet, but on my list, I'm really like, I want to really throw myself into it. So I'm thinking when I've got a load of like just a block of time, like Christmas, I'm going to really sort of throw myself into this.
Because you're a D&D guy as well, aren't you?
So clearly,
you're a D&D guy. You're a D&D guy, aren't you?
I am a D&D guy, yeah. I play D&D weekly as well. Not really weekly, it's been a little while. I'm waiting for this week for a session. But yeah, I D&D, you've been playing for about 4 years maybe, and I'm not really that heavy into RPGs generally. I'm not like a big Skyrim guy. I'm not a big turn-based guy. I've never been a big Final Fantasy guy. But something about this, something about the freedom of what you can do in D&D, of just being able to say, oh, I think I could do this, so I try this, and oh, it didn't work, oh no, consequences, or oh, it did work, great, let's move on. And the sort of experimentation that you don't get in a video game, where there is a dungeon master who can make on the fly decisions, and a lot of it also is obviously down to luck and dice rolls and stuff like that, combined with your own skills. Baldur's Gate 3 seems to have that freedom. I'm really looking forward to getting into it and picking a character. I'm glad I waited. I think I'm going to be glad that I waited when it comes to Game of the Year season. And, you know, generally there's sometimes a Game of the Year sale sometimes around the Game Awards. And also they've just released a patch, like you said, about the FSR. I think there's like 1,000 fixes they've added in. So I think even just by waiting towards the end of the year, I'm going to have a better experience anyway on a game that's already, supposedly, from what I've seen, phenomenal. And I'm very excited to give it a go. And I'll be playing that one on Steam Deck too.
You're playing that on Steam Deck, not on PS5?
No, I'm not gonna bother on PS5. No, I'm gonna have it on my PC so I can sort of set up here and get really sweaty with it. And also, if I just want to sort of sit downstairs with my girlfriend and over the Christmas period, you know, get real cozy, I can do that with the Steam Deck. So, you know, the Switch situation where I get to do a bit of both. I don't think I'd enjoy being forced to play it on the PS5 on the big TV, which I'd have to share. Whereas, you know, the PC and the Steam Deck are mine. You know, I can do what I want with them. So the next game on the list is one that I have played, which is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. You're not much of a Star Wars guy, right, Steve?
I think it's okay. I don't really get the hype around it. But then I also don't get Marvel. I just don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand it. Like, two of the biggest games of the year, Spider-Man 2 and Jedi Survivor, just don't really speak to me all that much because of the like source material. It's just...
That's a bad sentence. Oh my god, that's also a terrible sentence.
Even though I'm not a massive fan of Star Wars, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Does anything about this game not sort of draw you in?
I played a little bit of the first one, Fallen Order. Right, was the first one.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
I had a good enough time with it, but it didn't grab me. I think I played it after I'd played Metroid Dread because I was like, I want to play another Metroidvania. This was meant to be like a 3D Metroidvania. I also played it after Elden Ring. It's meant to be a little bit Soulsy. It just didn't do either of those things as well as the other games I'd played that do them well. Like, I'd rather go and play Elden Ring for some more precise combat, or I'd rather go and play Metroidvania or another Metroidvania if I want that kind of experience of exploring.
Yes, I often describe this game as like the global buffet of games, where it's
everything's mediocre.
It doesn't do Chinese food that great, it doesn't do Indian food that great, not you know, it doesn't do it to the degree of a Chinese restaurant, it doesn't do Indian food to the degree of an Indian restaurant, it doesn't do Italian to the blah, blah, blah.
But you can have a bit on your plate. You can have a curry next to a slice of pizza and some roast dinner.
And I enjoyed that because it's all the food that I like to eat, and I like all of the things that Jedi Survivor tried to do, and it sort of wrapped it up in a nice friendly Star Wars way, where it's like, oh, you know the Wookiees, you know Saw Gerrera, all these characters, you know. It was sort of like, it was just nice, you know. So that's one that, so Jedi Survivor, however, I am currently playing on PC, and I have been playing for some time because I
know you had some issues with the EA app on the Steam Deck. Is that solved now? They fixed that crap?
I have not, still not been able to, because I've got it on the EA app. I don't have it on Steam. I've only got it on the EA app.
So but it
I
is purchasable on Steam. You could play it.
It is. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You could do it. I'm just not choosing to do it that way. Because I got it really cheap at launch, on which I should have just waited and picked it up on Steam for...
It's probably as cheap, if not cheaper now than you got it.
But oh well. And also, I think it runs a lot better now. I've never had any problems with my PC. There's been a lot of patches. As far as I know, it works fine on the Steam Deck. But again, that's another one of the top games this year that runs on Steam Deck.
I mean, The Last of Us as well, was I was told that it ran on Steam Deck and didn't, you know. I'd love to put together a list of misses this year as well that I was really excited for and just did not hit. Because that was a real
Maybe
surprise
that
can be, for me.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sorry. There's a bit of a delay again. I don't know what's happening here. There's a bit of a.
Well, it's fine.
Something's happening.
It's fine.
This better not be another lost episode. The next game on the list, Dead Space Remake. Now, I this is another one that I played, on PC. Had my own issues with it. My bad. My fault. But it does run on Steam Deck, and I think a lot of people that have played it have said that it's
yeah, you told me off mic on Wednesday that you thought your PC was broken or something, or this game didn't play. Why was that, Max? Why did you think that?
I accidentally installed it on my big storage hard drive that's just like an old, you know, moving magnetic drive. And that it actually solved all... And this is after I'd already bought a new graphics card.
Yeah, you were really excited about the new graphics card, yeah.
Yep, and I was like, Dead Space doesn't work still, and I uninstalled it out of rage, and then it was only when I went to install something else, because I got it on EA, or actually, it was only when I went to install Jedi Survivor, and when I, on the EA app, went to install it, and I realized that it was installing to that drive, and I was like, oh, whoops, that must have been where I installed Dead Space, and that was the case. So, yeah, that's my bad.
You silly sausage, Max.
Yep, but I have actually got a massive SSD coming that I can store all my games on. I'm gonna do away with that old drive because I'm running out of space now. So
I'm torn because, you know, I don't think Dead Space or Resident Evil 4 is gonna come close to getting Game of the Year just because they're remakes and we've had such a massive year. I think for me, I need to play Alan Wake 2, just with how much of a bar it seems to be pushing in terms of technicality and in terms of storytelling and how meta the game is itself. Like, I'm really excited. Everything I hear about Alan Wake, I'm like, oh, that sounds like my kind of game. There's been the odd review. It's been mixed, but I think for the most part, Alan Wake 2 really sounds like my kind of game. Yes. And that is going to be one I play on Xbox and stream to my Steam Deck.
Yes. And I also think it's one of those ones that is, I know you like these sort of horror games, but it's only one of the big horror games this year that is brand new, or, you know, it's a sequel, not a remake of something else. So that sort of pips it above there, I think. The next game that I'd like to talk about is one I can't talk about because I haven't played it, but I know that you have, Steve. This year you were able to play Starfield on the Steam Deck, correct?
Yeah, one of my favorite games of the year, Starfield. You can play this one natively now on Steam Deck pretty well. SteamOS 3.5 and the latest version of Proton brought a bunch of fixes. It runs pretty well. I played this on Xbox and I streamed it with Greenlight. We've got a tutorial over on our YouTube channel if you want to learn how to do all of that. And I loved Starfield, fell in love with this game. And we'll talk more about it when Pete's back, because I know he was in the middle of playing it. He paused a little bit to play Spider-Man and Mario and catching up on all the other games. But this is one I'm really excited to dig deep into at the end of the year when we do a little bit of a spoiler cast and we do a bit of a Game of the Year thing. We do our Game of the Year in 2024. So you can expect our Game of the Year to be announced the first week of 2024.
This is going to be a really interesting Game of the Year conversation. I just think there's just such a wide variety, and I think there's so many games that because there have been so many quality games, so many that you've played that I haven't played. And I know last year we had the same, but we were all very much in alignment towards the end of, like, this was mine, this was yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elden Ring came out.
It could only be one
game
last year. There's no way it could have been anything else.
It could have gone one of two ways. I was a deciding vote on our number one game of the year. In the end, and I went one way.
Yeah, you're a sensible man, you know. That's why you're not swayed. You're not swayed by silly things. what yeah. it is.
And as the number two tastemaker of the podcast, Steve, you obviously we obviously aligned. So
yeah, yeah. And I, you know what though, I was, you're right, because I am surprised. I've started kind of compiling my own list of where things are landing in terms of game of the year, and I'm surprised what's mm-hmm. getting bumped, what's in there, what's higher than I thought it would be. And the next game, Diablo 4, is not as high as I thought it was going to be on that list, because
really?
I love Diablo, but Diablo 4 just didn't click as much.
Now, this is interesting, because pre-launch, during the betas, when it was an early access or whatever you could do, where you were sort of installing it on the deck before it came out, yeah. and you were raving about it. You were saying, this is exactly what I want from Diablo. This has blown my mind.
The seasonal content's just not there, though, Max. Like, it's a real problem. And we got BlizzCon this weekend, so it's possible they could pull it back and we could have some more seasonal content. It's not as bad as people make it out to be, but it's also not at the heights of what Diablo has been, which I think for me was Diablo 2. I don't think they've ever really recaptured that magic for me. Diablo 4 comes close. It's probably my second favorite Diablo game behind Diablo 2, ahead of Diablo 3, and you know, all of the Diablo games are miles ahead of Diablo 1, which is just boring procedural generated dungeons over and over again. And you just go down and down and down to like this infinitely deeper chasm into the it's like, how are there so many levels beneath this church? Who knows, but there are. But Diablo 4, I just couldn't get into it as much as I thought I would. And maybe it's because there were too many other games that distracted me and kind of pulled me off. You know, I wanted to play Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield happened, all of these other games that kind of pulled me away from Diablo 4. And the fact that I went on holiday the week Diablo 4 came out, and it's online only, even when you're playing in single player,
and a massive pain in the ass. Yep. Okay, so it does make it harder to play on the Steam Deck in the way that you'd like, but they did make it easier by bringing it directly to Steam, right? It's now available on Steam.
It's now available on Steam, which it should have been at launch. I'm kind of expecting now that Microsoft owns Activision that all games will be coming to Steam, and probably the Windows Store, but no one cares about that, and the Xbox app and all of that stuff, no one cares about that. As long as they come to Steam, I'll be very happy. Steam would have made it so much easier. Instead, I installed the Battle.net launcher via Lutris. I mean, you know the deal with, you were doing it with Overwatch, right?
Overwatch, yeah, wasting my time for a game I didn't even play that much of.
And that's come to Steam as well. And it's like, I feel like these games on PC would have had a much better launch if they'd come to Steam at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, these are two games that have maybe had a bit rockier than maybe were expected. But yeah, that's a big one. The next game, I think I would like to play Diablo 4, because I have actually been parroting your initial first week this because of this and this, and then I haven't actually got an update from you on that. So
there's a lot of things in there. I'd be really curious. If you do play, I'll mm-hmm. kind of join up with you. I think a big thing I have is there's no, like, the enemy scale with you, with your level, there's never that sense of progression. You know how in Elden Ring you could go back to that beginning area and you felt like a fucking hero, you're just slicing through people like butter? You used to get that in Diablo games, like you could go back and you just walk around and you'd be slicing through the enemies. Those, every single enemy in the game now, because of the way the multiplayer now works, scales with you, and every person sees different enemies when you're kind of online. And when they attack the enemy, it's at a lower level. So say I played with you and you were like a level 10 and I was a level 60, I would get enemies that match my level and you would get enemies that match your level.
See, I don't like that. I don't like any game where the enemies scale, because it means that you're getting flashier stuff and you're improving, but you're not feeling like you're improving. You're not overcoming
the challenge. Yeah, you never really feel like it. You never do.
Always as hard as it is. That's a huge shame, and that has really put me off the game, honestly. Which is a shame. Another game that I have played this year and would like to continue playing this year, and will probably continue to play on the Steam Deck this year, is Resident Evil 4. Like you mentioned earlier, it being sort of like a highly rated game, and I think it's one that's not going to be in the conversation of Game of the Year with the bigger outlets, just purely because it is a remake. And I think
we need a remake category at Jeff Keighley's Awards. It's been so many, yeah.
Metro Prime Remastered, Dead Space, Resident Evil 4, like these are
we're about to get Mario RPG. That could go into the running as well.
These are going to be like highly rated, beloved games that are just not going to get any recognition. I do think we should have. I don't think they should be counted because it's easy to release something like Metro Prime again, something that's already of a caliber, and just pop it out in a year and sort of sweep the prizes. But I think there should be like a remake or a remaster category, or like a older games category or something. You know, just something to these games get their due. But mm-hmm. Resident Evil 4 looks amazing. I haven't played too much of it. I'm sort of still in the very early stages of it. But it runs fine on the Steam Deck, runs better than the demo did. I think I said this last week, actually. And that's one that I think I'm very much looking forward to finishing off. Another game that came out this year that I think I spoke about before, and it was I think it was one of my tastemaker
choices.
You did,
it was a tastemaker pick, and I was like, you know what, I really want to check this out. And it's just had the DLC come out, mm-hmm. and I still really want to check it out, because I haven't. And this game's Dredge. And it's a fishing game with a twist.
Mm-hmm. The twist being that at nighttime the spookies get you. And there's a lot to it. I think there's quite a lot to Dredge. It's not that long. I was ill when it came out, and I was just like glued to it. Sat sort of coughing and spluttering at my desk. And I think I played the whole game in the space of 2 days. But I think it's such a quality, well-made game, and the Steam Deck controls are great. One that I think, you know, if we're doing like indie game of the year, it's quite high on there, but you'd have to argue the definition of indie for some of the other titles that have come out that are, you know, going to be probably higher. But
I argue the toss with the definition of indie. Like, people were saying Hi-Fi Rush was an indie game, and that's nowhere near an indie game. You know, it's from a studio owned by Microsoft. It's massive. It's coming out of ZeniMax, and it's like, that was a great game, and I played that one on Steam Deck and I absolutely loved it, and I think that's definitely going to be in my game of the year list, and I'd like to see it get some recognition in game of the year lists from other outlets as well, because it's a phenomenal game, and I think a lot of people will be quick to forget it because it came out in January.
Yes, I think Hi-Fi Rush is also a game that as a testament to the Steam Deck, I liked it. I got Game Pass, like a month of Game Pass to play it. I enjoyed what I was playing so much, but also felt like I could enjoy it on the Steam Deck. And because I didn't have the facility to do that, I bought the game on Steam, and I moved my save file from the Xbox app into Steam and had to upload it to the cloud. And
did not know you could do that.
It took a little while. I had to like find the file, move it into the right folder, force it to like look for it, and then upload it to the cloud. And so now I have Hi-Fi Rush where I left off on the Steam Deck, because I wanted to play it more on there. And again, it's not that I didn't finish. It's been a busy year for games, and also just general existence. Like I said, I moved this year.
Well, Tears of the Kingdom came out after that, and it was like, I guess I'll play that instead.
Yeah, there's just always been like the next thing. And I do think that a game like this coming out with no preamble or no marketing or anything like that, while it is great because you do get like the, wow, this game came out of nowhere thing, you also get, oh, well, I've already planned my year of what's coming out. You know, I've already planned
your budgets as well. Like, you know, I've got no money, and it's like, oh, I've already planned that I'm going to buy this collector's edition and this, that, and the other. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll add another one onto the list. I mean, Game Pass really helped it.
Absolutely.
You could just download it there and then and play it. But I knew this was a game I wanted to play handheld, and it runs so well on the Steam Deck.
Another game that I think that I'm going to play on Game Pass because it's available there, but I know works very well on the Steam Deck, is Lies of P, which came out early this month. We're in November now. Came out last month. Lies of P, I played the demo on Steam Deck and was very impressed at how well it ran. It was like a locked 60 FPS. It looked great. It felt great. It felt, you know, like a really good Bloodborne-style Souls-like with some sort of Sekiro bits in there. But I think purely because it is on Game Pass, I'm going to just sort of mainline it on PC. But if I was to buy it on Steam, or if you, like, you know, this whole thing is if you only have a Steam Deck, you would still be able to get the most out of that game. And I think it's a very strong game. And I feel like this is one I think that also gets the indie moniker because it's from a company people haven't really heard of. But I think, you know, it is a larger, you know, it's not AAA, but it's...
It's a double-A game, and I think people forget that double-A exists, Sid, you know, because they've kind of been snapped up by Microsoft for the most part. I've not heard of this studio at all. Round eight, NeoWiz Games.
No, they're Korean, I believe. But yeah, great. And another one on Games Pass as well that's probably worth a mention: Cocooned. It came out last month.
Oh, phenomenal! Phenomenal game.
As I know, haven't played it. Want to play it? I'm going to play it on Steam Deck, but you could play it on Steam Deck. Another game on the list, and actually, I don't know if it's possible. I've not personally played it. Armored Core 6. A game that before I speculate anymore, Armored Core 6 makes for an excellent experience on the Steam Deck from Kotaku. So that is a game that, as a big sort of like fan of Elden Ring and all the Souls games and Sekiro and Bloodborne, yada 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 yada, I was really excited to be introduced to the Armored Core series.
Is it anything like those other games though? Like, I can't imagine it is.
But I do appreciate a lot of From Software's game design and their sort of the way they do things and the level of detail they can put into certain things. And I think there is a lot of like the boss fights that look like there is some elements of it, but yeah. I think the structure of it is completely different. It's more about building your mech and stuff like that. And I'm a guy who appreciates a good mech. It's a series I've never played, but you know, maybe needed a push. And I think the push I needed is playing every other FromSoft game and going, oh yeah, these are developers I can pay attention to everything they do. And that's this. But yeah, this seems to run really well on the Steam Deck. I think it's a game that sort of came and went without much fanfare, but I think it's because it wasn't Elden Ring, it wasn't Dark Souls.
Yeah.
It's still going to be niche compared to those games, which is saying something because those games feel niche.
I'm looking forward to that Elden Ring DLC.
Me too. Yeah, we got an update on that, didn't we, recently, that it's sort of progressing well, which is good because it gives me time to get a Steam Deck/PC playthrough through so I can play it on New Game Plus and not New Game Plus 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 on my PlayStation.
I hope when the DLC comes out, there's a way to just skip to like New Game Plus. I also hope that we can get cross progression and everything at some point, because I just want to be able to bring my... I want to play more Elden Ring, and I want to play it handheld, and I want to play it on my deck, but my save is stuck on Xbox and there's no way for me to get it off or out of there.
Steve, we start again and we just hop in each other's worlds and we just beat bosses with each other.
That could work, because I had no idea what I was doing first time around, and I picked a starter class that did not match what I wanted to play, and then I could only respec it to a certain point. And it was just like, oh, I'm kind of being held back by what I picked at the beginning because I thought the guy I picked looked cute with the little bandana thing.
And was he cute?
No, not really.
No, that's a shame.
I picked the bandit and he looked the best. He had the best outfit, but he's crap. And I like playing with magic and what's the other thing?
Well, the starting classes, they don't define you. That's something you always have to remember. That whatever you start of in a Souls game doesn't define you. You can change anything. You can get there.
You can, but maybe... then when I went to go respec, you could only transfer a certain number of points from any one spec to another.
You can't go below your starting rank, yeah, is basically what it is. But that those ranks are maybe like, what, three levels between them, and there's, you know, 100 levels to choose from.
Those three could have helped me.
They could have helped you. It's a shame you're not talking about Elden Ring right now, because that is a game that plays well on Steam Deck and is an absolute banger. But when the DLC does come out, not in June of this year, like I wrongly guess, when it comes out next year, we can have this discussion next year when we say, did we get to play the best games of 2024 on the Steam Deck? We can say, well, you both played the Elden Ring DLC on it. So, yes. The next game is one that I have... A lot of these games that I've started and not played much of. Dave the Diver is a game, I think, that sort of came out of nowhere for a lot of people. Again, looks like an indie game. Not sure it is an indie game. It's another difficult one to justify.
I think it is an indie game.
It is an indie game.
Yeah, it's by a developer called Mint Rocket. And they don't seem to have really developed anything else.
Mint Rocket. Dave the Diver. Yeah, you're right. They haven't. Who's publishing it? Oh, they published it themselves. Yeah, okay, fine. It is an indie game.
They published it themselves on Steam, but they've got like a publisher over on other platforms. I think it's exclusive on Switch at the moment, but it'll be coming elsewhere.
It's Nexon, is so the company is a subsidiary of Nexon, and they made things like MapleStory, which if you're anyone that spent any time on the internet, you'll know what that is. They've done a few things. I'd say they're like I don't know if they're indie, but they are a smaller, you know. They've been around for a long time. They started making games in 96. So yeah, I'm not here to argue about the definition of these things, but still. Dave the Diver, another sort of game that came out of nowhere and surprised a lot of people, I think. A game that plays perfectly on the Steam Deck because by its very nature of being a smaller game.
Kind of not shocking. It runs perfectly on Switch. It's going to run perfectly on Steam Deck. And I look at the min spec and it's like a GeForce GTS 450 and it's like, oh, okay, this will run on a potato. Yeah,
and that's that. I'm glad that a lot of these smaller games maybe will get more of a look in at Game of the Year this year, which considering how many big games there have been, I think it's nice to see that there are people are still fighting for things like Dave the Diver and Cocoon and me personally with Dredge. You know, it's gonna, like I say, it's gonna be a really interesting Game of the Year discussion this year. Of just like so much to choose from, and I think it's going to surprise some people what we decide to ditch and what we sort of go for. The last game I'm going to mention, I'm not going to touch too much on because I don't think any of us have played it, and I think it's one we've avoided talking about much. Mm-hmm. But it does always seem to top the Steam Deck most played lists every month, and that's Hogwarts Legacy. For some people, it's sort of the biggest game that released this year, and I think because Harry Potter has such a wide reach, a lot of people, this was their big game that they want to play this year. And I think it was wildly successful because of that. And it seems to run absolutely perfectly fine on the Steam Deck, considering it has topped those lists so often. So, that is another game that I think is going to come up in a lot of people's Game of the Year discussions, and you can play it on the Steam Deck. So that was only a sort of a selection of games that I played and aware of. There are probably going to be some games that we both missed.
There's games on my list that aren't going to touch on anyone else's. You know, 10 Dates, the sequel to one of my favorite games of last year. 5 Dates came out, and that was really exciting for me. I played that on it was a Valentine's release. It was really cool. The new Fist of Fathoms game, I'll talk about that in the back half of the show. There's tons of games that come to PC that aren't going to be on any kind of Game of the Year list from any outlet. But they're all my personal games of the year list, and I would imagine that you and Pete have probably got some that you're just like, this is one of my favorite games of the year. It's not a game of the year by any stretch of the imagination, but I really had a good time with it. You know, Deceive Inc's on my list as well. I know that's really probably not going to be on anyone's game of the year list, but it's one of my favorite ones. Hitman Freelancer is probably going to be on there as an update to Hitman. Again, you can play that phenomenally on the deck. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some other games coming out. Some of the ones we played in Steam Next Fest, like American Arcadia. I'm really excited about that launching. I think it comes out on the 7th of November. So I'm looking forward to picking that up and learning more about that game. There's just a lot of good games this year. And I think at first glance, you're like, oh, well, you know, if you've only got a Steam Deck, you can't play Tears of the Kingdom. You can't play Spider-Man 2. You can't play Alan Wake 2. But you take Alan Wake 2 out of the scenario. You can't play Tears of the Kingdom or Spider-Man 2 if you don't have those consoles, regardless. It's not just because you're being limited by the Steam Deck's performance. The Steam Deck can play pretty much every other big game that's come out in 2023.
I am going to quickly, I know that we are a Steam Deck podcast and that there's been a bit of trickery here to get people to think that we maybe thought this, you know, that there is a chance the Steam Deck wasn't worth it this year. But I would like to throw a couple more games out that weren't on Steam Deck this year that I think were worth a look and just to sort of balance things out a little bit, because I think a lot of what we've done there is Steam Deck, yeah, great. Things that you also would have missed this year are Mario Wonder, obviously, just came out. Final Fantasy 16, PlayStation 5 exclusive for now, might come to PC eventually, and that then maybe will be
it will
perfectly
come to
playable
PC,
on the Steam Deck. The Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion was one of my personal favourites this year, and that's not on the Steam Deck. Although it probably is, if you really know where to look.
No.
Pikmin 4 came out this year. Metroid Prime Remastered, I can't remember if I said that already, that's another one that came out this year and is only on Switch. But there have also been some sort of smaller games that have come out that aren't available on the deck. So there is sort of a balance there, but I do think overall, just to really get that question answered, this year has been a fantastic year for video games, and I think that people who have played those games on Steam Deck or have only played games on the Steam Deck this year will be able to agree that, yeah, it has been fantastic. I think there's not going to be anyone who's got to the end of this year and thought that there was nothing they could play. No matter what system you own, because a lot of the games I've said, or almost all of the games I've said there, are available on all these other systems. So if you would just owned a Switch, you've had a fantastic year. If you just owned a PlayStation, you had a pretty good year. You've missed out on a lot.
PlayStation, I think, arguably had one of the weaker years. I mean, it's either been Switch or multi-platform stuff that's been kind of the big stuff.
Yeah, I think only two of the games that are the sort of games of this year have been exclusive to PlayStation, and that's Final Fantasy 16 and Spider-Man 2.
Baldur's Gate kind of has been de facto exclusive on console, but it is coming to... it is going to come to Xbox as well.
Yeah, it's just a lot of patience, I guess. I'd like to end this segment by putting a call out to the audience. And that is, what so far has been your favourite game of the year? And did you play that game on deck? That's what I want to know. And if you... No, do you know what? I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to overcomplicate this. That's my question. What's your favourite game of the year so far? Did you play on deck?
Yeah.
Let's see whether people agree with us or not. So yeah, I thought that was a fun thing to talk about. But we've got more to talk about in the Steam docket soon enough. Steve, I'm now going to thank the housekeeping. This is not a smooth intro. You're very good at the smooth.
Before we get
intros
to the Steam docket, let me just thank this week's Patreon producers for the first time for the month of November. They are Arnold J. Rimmer, Christopher Valenz, Earth Visitor, Gabriel Hassemeyer, aka Sobe Pilkey, Snacky Go, Ty the Dude, and Wakahula. Thank you all so much for supporting us over on patreon.com/flipscreengames. If you want to support us, you can head over there. You'll get all sorts of cool stuff, like early access to the episodes when they go up before everyone else gets them the next day. You can come join our Discord and head over to our website, flipscreen.games, to find us everywhere on the web.
When you bring me on, you don't get quality, you just get quantity. Onto the Steam docket. We've had a lot of questions. Some of these are going to be... one of these is going to be slightly less relevant. I'm going to say it anyway. Shitty Foo asks, today on Friday the 3rd of November, our fault, is it still Halloween in your time zone? No. Any good recommendations for indie horror games? Steve, this seems like your...
Yeah. I spoke about this week, Shidifu, on this week's Flip Screen Games podcast. So I want you to go and listen to that episode if you're interested in the games I'm going to talk about. But they are the Fears to Fathom series. I highly recommend playing those ones. They're probably the best indie horror games I've played. I played a game called Don't Scream, which uses your microphone. And if you get frightened and you scream, it will kill you. And you have to start again. You have to survive 18 minutes. I like Lunch Lady, great game. That's really fun. You have to walk around a school, pick up some papers, pick up some pages. You can play online multiplayer with that one. It's really good. There's a bunch of these games. I highly recommend kind of going down a bit of a rabbit hole. I do that all the time and just like pick them up. If they're crap, if they don't play, Steam's refund policy is really, really good, and you can just kind of get a refund on the games. Also, install Itch. Go head over to the desktop mode, itch.io, download a bunch of games from there. They're often free, or you can donate to the developers over there if you have a good time, and you'll find a bunch of cool experiences. There will always a little smaller games, 30 minutes to an hour, but they're really good fun, and I think indie horror games are some of the most interesting games being made today. They're often including puzzles or fun ways to scare you, cool stories, cool settings. They're just really, really good.
Fantastic answer, I say. Even though I learned a lot there. He then follows up with, should Tux Paint be a native SteamOS app? Now, I don't have a fucking clue what that means, Steve, if you'd like to educate me briefly and then answer the question.
You don't know who Tux is? You must know who Tux is. The Linux Penguin? Wow, okay. Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm really desperately trying. Oh, actually, no, I think about it, I could see a little penguin when I think about, like, oh, this app's available on Linux.
Yes, yeah, that's Tux. Tux the penguin. Okay. Tux Paint is like a free open source version of, like, Microsoft Paint, but for Linux.
Oh, okay. An app that I love a lot.
I think it would be really cool to see that come as a native app. They should at least add it to the Discover store as a flat pack if it's not there. I think it would be fun.
How do you play it then? How do you use that app if it's not in sort of natively built into Linux? Do you have to?
It is native to Linux, but at the moment, I guess I don't know. Maybe it doesn't run on Arch Linux, so it doesn't run on SteamOS. I need to look into it. But I always used to have a great time with Paint. One of my favorite things to do as a child: open up Paint, do a little squiggly line, and then fill in with the different colors. And everyone did the same thing.
We all had the same life. I then took Microsoft Paint to the next level, and all of my pixel art was done purely in Microsoft Paint. I never evolved into like any of these better pixel art things. I also saw they're doing they got rid of Paint, they bought it back, and now they're doing an update to add transparency support and layer support, which I think would be incredible. So give me more Paint, I say. And hey, if they want to bring it, I'll put it on the Steam Deck with Tux Paint, then yeah, let's do it. The last thing that Shitty Food wants to point out is that the Fright of Your Life bundle, which is a bundle of games you can get. Oh, wait, only it, actually, do you know what? I've just realized this ends in 8 hours. Are we going to get this out in 8 hours, Steve?
That depends if Pete gets this up. So it may have ended by now, but the Fright of Your Life bundle was a really cool bundle they did for Halloween. It includes the original Alan Wake, the Bendy games, Hidden Deep, a bunch of other games. It's probably worth checking out if you like horror games. I didn't pick it up. I'm probably not going to pick it up. These are like larger games. I like the weird little indie games that no one's heard of. Mm-hmm. But you said that there's another bundle you wanted people to check out over on Humble.
I wanted to point this out while we're talking about bundles. There's an IGN Editor's Choice 9 and Above Club bundle, which features, seven games, all of which are either rated 9 or a 10 on IGN. Few of them I've played, and I think all of them are great value. I think £13, you get Disco Elysium, The Final Cut, Wildermyth, Chivalry 2, Spiritfarer Farewell Edition, Grime, The Forgotten City, and Paradise Killer. A lot of those games are obviously they've got a 9 out of 10, but Disco Elysium is a huge, huge game. Spiritfarer, when that was first announced and came out, huge critical acclaim. Grime, Tinge of Terror, a game I've played and really enjoyed Grime. It's one of the first games I actually beat on the Steam Deck was Grime. Good spooky game if you want to play spooky games. Paradise Killer with a game when that came out, I remember there being a lot of talk about that as well. Didn't really get the due it should have received, I think. But great bundle. That one luckily ends in 19 days. So you've got a little while to enjoy that one after you listen to this.
And Forgotten City was one of my favorite games of 2021. Phenomenal game. If people haven't played that, they should. It's really, really cool.
I've not even heard of it, but
it started out as a mod for Skyrim, and then the guy that used to be a lawyer that made the mod basically quit his job, got funding, rewrote the entire game in Unreal Engine, and then released it.
Wow, okay.
That's really great story behind it.
Maybe this is worth looking at then.
Yeah, it's a really cool, interesting way of doing a puzzle. It's a really, really fun game.
Interesting. All right, I'll definitely check that one out. Moving on. Oh, thank you, Shitty Foo, for the questions. Moving on to Team Linux 01, 0101. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. I would like to see ways of streaming or recording gameplay with game mode. I know about Deki Recorder, although I want to keep more stock settings. Discord has some issues, and I haven't tried OBS yet.
Would you want to do this?
Not me personally.
I have found myself wanting to do this a few times in the last couple of weeks, where I want the feature that Xbox and PlayStation has, where I can press a button and record what's just happened.
Yeah, I'd love that.
The problem is, Deki Recorder will do that. Like, it will let you. So Deki Recorder is a plugin. Obviously, it's a Deki plugin. And it will allow you to record what's being shown on the screen. And you can do replay mode, where you can record like a 30-second clip, and you can do that exact thing that I've spoken about.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'd love to know why Team Linux 01 doesn't like the solution. I would imagine it probably has a bit of a performance hit. But Deki Recorder is a really cool solution. If you've got Deki installed, which if you listen to this podcast, you probably do, it's probably worth installing and checking out, because it will do that for you. But it would really be nice to have a built-in solution. Like, you can press Steam and the right bumper currently to record, to take a screenshot. It'd be good to maybe do Steam and the right trigger to take a video recording.
Yeah. Or just to be able to, it's not going to be as built-in as the PlayStation one where the whole game pauses and you can sort of do sections or whatever, which is very cool. But yeah, a solution like that would be nice, just because it's a feature you really get used to, and it's only when you're playing on the Steam Deck and you're like, oh, that really cool thing happened. That's lost to the
yeah. Even the Switch has got it right. You just press and hold the button, and it records like a 2 minute clip, and like it was great. You would post that over to Twitter or whatever when you could post to Twitter, and it was a good time. Yeah, everyone was always posting videos and stuff like that. That kind of thing, I think, is invaluable to smaller games as well. Like as a way of kind of marketing them. Yeah,
absolutely, and even just like games like Tears of the Kingdom, where, you know, I've used the term so many times now on this show, or various shows like this that we do, crowdsourced discovery, where it's like, oh, did you see this? I've just seen it. Just be able to share a quick clip. And be
you
like,
get the water cooler moments, don't you? Where everyone's like, oh, I had no idea that that was there. That's really cool. I'm going to go check that out. When it comes to streaming, I have streamed a little bit from my Steam Deck. I did OBS in desktop mode, though. I know you can install it through Steam now in game mode, or at the very least you can install it in Discover through the Discover store and then add it to game mode, and I would imagine that would work pretty similarly, but again you will probably get a performance hit. I found the best way is plugging the Steam Deck into a capture card and then streaming it with another device, which obviously is not the best solution. It would be nice to see some kind of built-in way of streaming to Twitch.
Yeah, I think at that point you're sat at your desk anyway. You might as well just play it on the PC. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have PC, if people have only got a Steam Deck, then I guess that having a solution built in would be really nice. Because you can stream from PlayStation, you can stream from Xbox. It would be nice to be able to stream from Steam Deck too.
Yes.
I know that the Switch has kind of just had end of life support for even watching Twitch. I guess not enough people were doing that there, but.
I can't see why you would.
I don't know why you would either, but then I don't know why people were always screaming out for Netflix to come to the Switch either. I'm just like, I've got so many devices with so many better screens than the Switch.
Yes. I did like the idea of popping the kickstand and watching something like on a train or whatever, but I can also just put my phone at an angle, you know.
Oh, I have a pop socket on my phone, so I just it can just sit down.
Someone just likes to wirelessly charge.
Yeah, I do too. Mine's magnetic. It just comes off.
Oh, that is cool. All right, you win. The last part from Team Linux 01 here. Now, this is another one you're going to have to explain to me because it's gone over my head. As a side note, Bazite OS Steam Deck version has better Discord integration and provides an overlay in game mode when streaming. Steve, what's Bazite OS?
So Bazite, I had a look, is an alternative operating system for the Steam Deck. But it's based on Fedora instead of Arch Linux, and it offers a similar experience, but it looks like it adds a bunch to it. You get the same kind of game mode that you get with SteamOS. It can kind of boot directly into that, but you also get a desktop mode. It looks like a really cool alternative to SteamOS, and I would imagine that, and obviously you can install this on other devices as well. It doesn't have to just be for SteamOS, but includes things like game scope in there, so you've got everything that you would expect in game mode, like being able to control the frame rates and things like that. I very much am interested in checking this out and finding out about like the better Discord overlay and things like that. Like there's the Discover overlay pre-installed. Discover is another open source project where you can see who is in the game and chatting and things like that. Looks like a really, really cool project. I'm going to keep an eye on Bazite. As it stands, I don't have any kind of real desire to switch away from SteamOS. I think if I was going to dual boot another OS, it would be Windows, but only for the explicit reason of I want to use Game Pass.
Perfect. I've learned something there, and that's why I like coming on the show with you, Steve, is you always teach me something. Good show. I had a good time. Steve, why don't you tell the folks listening where they can find us and why would they want to do that?
Yeah, thanks to everyone for listening. You can check out our website, flipscreen.games. You'll find everywhere we are on the web, our Discord, our Patreon. We've just started a TikTok, if that's your jam. I can't stand the app myself, but if you want to go find us on TikTok, we're at TikTok/flipscreengames or @flipscreengames. However that However that app works, we are Flip Screen Games there. I don't have it installed, so I don't know what the correct terminology is. But you can find us there. Pete Milton wants me to make sure that everyone follows us on Twitch. TikTok. But yeah.
I'll follow you on TikTok. Yeah. I'll treat you to mine.
I'll add the link to our website. Go to our website, flipscreen.games, and you can find us everywhere.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Steve, for the show. This is what Pete says, right? I'm Max. One of these directions is Steve. Have a good time. Bye, everyone.